of the child of God, isn't it? The Lord tarries, one day these bodies will go into a grave. It's headed my way and your way. Fast as time will carry us. But in Christ, there's hope beyond the grave. And thank the Lord for that hope tonight. Certainly good to have Stacy Farron's mother-in-law, Mrs. Price. Mrs. Price, certainly good to have you here with us tonight. Along with all of you who are visiting God's house. Now, turn in your Bibles, please, to the first epistle of Timothy. Paul, to the first epistle of Paul, the apostle, to the young pastor Timothy. Chapter 1, page 1274 in your old Scoville Reference Bible. Verse 12. We're going through the book of 1 Timothy, verse by verse, on Sunday night. Verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, isn't that a great verse? The only wise God be honor and glory forever and ever. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Paul was an amen and Baptist, wasn't he? I like those kind. Those kind of live right and say amen a little bit every now and then. Hey, let's ask the Lord to bless his word to our hearts tonight. Father, we thank you for this privilege of coming to thee tonight. Thank you, Lord, for this good spirit we felt in our soul, that sweet liberty that comes only from the Lord. And Father, thank you for meeting with your people today one more time. Lord, would you pass by tonight? Would you feed us and nourish us from your precious word? Lord, help us realize that this word tonight is a spiritual beefsteak for a child of God. Help us to get something from the book tonight, that our souls are hungry. And Lord, we need to hear from heaven as the Holy Spirit moves over the word of God and feeds us from the eternal word that's eternally settled. And speak to our hearts from your word tonight. Build us up, challenge us, save. May the Holy Spirit of God take the word and pierce hearts that may be here without the Lord, unsaved tonight. And get glory from this service. Bless our young people as they're down to Bob Jones University out with Brother Guy worshiping the Lord tonight. Give them a good week down there, a few days together. Bring them back safely. Lord, thank you for your blessings one more time upon our church. And Lord, keep us true to you. Keep the devil out of our church. Keep blessing us, Lord, from now till Jesus comes. Now help me as I preach tonight. Anoint me. Bless these thy people and get glory in this service. Do something eternal in this service and we'll thank you. Lord, bless us this week, next Sunday, and in the revival with Brother Mays, and just keep blessing us till you come for us in the air. And now defeat the devil, and Lord, bless tonight, and be our unseen guest, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, one of the greatest things in the world is to be able to stand and give a personal testimony of what the Lord has done for you. The psalmist said in Psalm 107, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed out of the hand of the enemy. And if you've been saved, you've been redeemed and delivered out of the clutches of sin and Satan, and you've been set free in the glorious liberty which is in Christ Jesus. 1 Peter 3:15 says, be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is within you, or that is in you, with meekness and fear. So we're supposed to be able to give a reason for the hope that we have within us. And that's in, our hope is in the Lord. We should be ready, the Apostle Peter said, always to give an answer, give a testimony about it. Now, we may not have much education, or we may have education, or we may not be a good public speaker. We may not know much doctrine. But if we've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ and been saved, we ought to be able to say with a blind man in John 9, one thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see. Now a saved child of God ought to be able to get up and testify that I once was blind, but now I see. Once was in darkness, now I'm in the light. And the Lord will bless us if we'll just stand up and give a sincere testimony of what the Lord has done for us. And not exalting self. We're not exalting self when we say, the Lord has done this for me. We're exalting the Lord. And something is wrong if a professing Christian has nothing to say for the Lord. Folks, if you don't have anything to say for the Lord, something where you're not staying in the book, you're not living close to the Lord, you're not serving Him. I mean, you just stay in that book, stay close to the Lord and try to serve Him, and you'll have a testimony for Jesus if you've been saved. So we need to have a testimony as God's people. At least six times in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul records the story or his experience of conversion or salvation. Three times in the book of Acts, chapter 9, chapter 22, and chapter 26, Paul gives his testimony. Again in Galatians 1 and 2. Again in Philippians 3. And then here in 1 Timothy, verse 12 through verse 17, Paul gives his testimony again. And so I want us to look at the testimony of the Apostle Paul here in these verses together tonight. We see the commencement of his testimony here in verse 12, and he begins his testimony in verse 12 with heartfelt thanks unto the Lord for three special things that Paul was led of the Holy Spirit to put in this verse. Paul said, I'm thankful, first of all, for his enablement. He said, Jesus Christ our Lord has enabled me. And, you know, some people think that because I have no gifts or no abilities that I ought to never try to do anything for the Lord. I'm just supposed to live it. I don't have any gifts. I don't have any talents. I don't have much education. So therefore, I'm just going to live it. No, folks, if God saved you, He put the Holy Spirit within, and there is within every child of God, there is the potential, there is a necessary power to live for Jesus Christ and serve Him. Every child of God has that enabling spirit within, the Holy Spirit. And so every one of us can do the will of God for our lives. I believe if God called you to do so, I believe God's calling is God's enabling. Because the Holy Spirit within is not going to lead you and then let you down. So God's leading is always God's enabling. If God's led you to do something, God will help you to do that. Because God doesn't lead you to fail. Now, we all have differing abilities, but God has to enable us all in spite of our abilities, because we can do nothing in the energy of the flesh. That word enable means strengthened. Strengthened. God strengthened me. God enabled me. Paul said in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things. And here, one of the most talented, the most brilliant men who ever lived said, I can do all things through Christ, not through my own abilities or intellect, but I can do everything through Christ which strengtheneth me or enable me. Now, I fought the call to preach for 4 years because I thought I couldn't do it, and I couldn't do it. I thought right. But when I came to the place, Lord, I believe you're calling me, and I yield to you. If I make the biggest flop that ever got behind a pulpit, I'm going to preach. And then the Lord is waiting on me to say that. And then when I told him, if I've made the biggest failure that ever got behind a pulpit, Lord, I'm going to preach, then the Lord started helping me. And I couldn't do it, and you can't do it in yourself, but that enabling spirit within. And so Paul is thanking the Lord Christ Jesus, our Lord, because he enabled me, he strengthened me, he helped me. That's a testimony of every child of God that's looked to Jesus in believing faith. That sweet Holy Spirit that's within will enable us. Then also he thanked the Lord for his confidence in him. He said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord that he counted me faithful. One of the greatest qualities one can possess is faithfulness or dependability or trustworthiness. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4:2, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And folks, every one of us can be faithful. Every person in here, from the front to the back, in the balcony, this pastor, the instrumentalist, every one of us can. We may not have all the abilities we'd want to have. You say, preacher, I don't have any. You can still be faithful. You can still be faithful. And God can, you know what? If you say, preacher, I don't have any abilities, you know what? You just qualified to serve God because he chose those things which are not to confound those things which are. So God glories in taking a crooked stick and, brother, hitting a hard lick with a crooked stick. So if you're nothing tonight, just join the club. God can use you. So Paul said that he was praising the Lord because he counted him faithful. He saw in Paul qualities of faithfulness. Paul was a faithful sinner. He faithfully persecuted the church of Christ. That's not the water ducks either. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me put it that way. And God saved him. He saw in Paul a quality that he wanted in the ministry of faithfulness. And I believe Paul was faithful in three areas. First of all, he's faithful to the Lord who saved him and called him. He is faithful to the Word of God. He preached the truth as revealed to him. He preached truth everywhere he went. He preached the truth of salvation by the grace of God. He was a great grace preacher. And then he was faithful to the souls of men. You know, we ought to be faithful in those three areas. I want to be faithful, first of all, to the Lord. I want to be faithful to the Lord, first of all. Now, I want to be faithful to you, but first of all, I've got to be faithful to the Lord. I want to be faithful to Jesus. Then, I want to be faithful to that old book, the precious Word of God. Folks, let's be faithful to the book. That old book, the old King James Version, 1611. Let's be faithful to God's Word. And then, let's be faithful to the souls of men. I want to stand up here and be faithful to your soul. I want to be faithful to your soul. You have a never-dying soul. And I want to one day to be able to stand before the Lord and say, Lord, I tried to be faithful to their soul. I tried to be faithful to their soul. So the Lord had confidence in Paul, and he was rejoicing and showing his gratefulness and saying that I thank Christ Jesus our Lord. Then also a third thing he was thankful for his calling. Well, I wish I'd have spent the whole night on that one verse, and I've got about six verses to go here. I just now see what I've got in that verse there, those three things he's thankful. Where's Bob? Bob, you ought to underline those three things right there. That's a good thing right there. That's a good sermon right there. And I've got five more verses to go. I better quit preaching so much on each one of these things here tonight. But he was thankful for his calling. That he said, I'm thankful to Christ Jesus our Lord for putting me into the ministry. Isn't that a great verse? Yeah, I've studied that verse all week. Now I just realize what a great verse I've got a hold of. Isn't that something? Paul was thankful that God enabled him. And he is thankful that God considered him faithful. Now he's thankful that God called him. Put him in the ministry. He said, I didn't call myself. God put me in the ministry. And the ministry is not a vocation. It's a calling. It's a calling. And a preacher has to have the assurance in his soul that God has called him to preach. I couldn't have stayed here for all these years if I didn't have the assurance in my soul that the Lord did something for me back when I was a boy and saved me, and then that God called me. And that doesn't mean I'm perfect, doesn't mean I won't make mistakes, but I have been able to stay here because God saved me and called me. And folks, in reality, every Christian ought to be able to say that. Do you know that? Because that word, when he considered him faithful, putting him in the ministry, that word ministry means to serve or service, or also, I'm told, and I don't want to, I've forgotten all the Greek I ever did know. Didn't know a whole lot of it. And I had about 18, 20 hours of Greek. And I did have it, or rather I've had it on Greek. I want to put it that way. I didn't take it, it took me. But that word there means also deaconship, which means service. The word deacon means to serve. And so the idea, now Paul had a special call to be an apostle of the Gentiles. But I believe every Christian has been called to serve the Lord 24 hours a day. Every hour of every day. That I believe that he didn't save us to sit around. He saved us to serve. We're called to serve. If you've been saved tonight, you've been saved for a purpose, and that is to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I've already preached about 15 minutes, and I'm not one-fifth through my sermon. So when a preacher gets that, he's in bad shape. So I'm just going to preach till I'm through and pick up next Sunday night. Let's move to verse 13. As long as I'm enjoying it, I'm just going to stay with these verses. I'm in no hurry to move off of a verse as long as the Lord is giving me, feeding my soul. See, he's feeding my soul as well as he's feeding yours on the Word of God. Now, folks, that's a great verse. That's good. I don't know where to go any farther than that tonight or not. Let me just go over that again. I don't know. I'm going hard to leave verse 12. But let me try 13. Let's move on. Let's move on to verse 13. Now we come into Paul's, the testimony of his conversion from verses 13 to 15. And in verse 13 we see BC, or before conversion. We get a picture of what Paul was before he was saved. Paul confesses in this verse that he was a wicked sinner. And you know what? God can't save you till you come to that place where you confess that. God doesn't save any good people. People say, well, my husband or my wife or my son or my daughter is not so bad. They're good people. No, they're not. They're not saved. Well, they're wicked sinners in God's sight. And even after you get saved, you're still a sinner, saved by the grace of God. So if a person said, well, I'm not too bad, I don't think I'm a heathen, then God can't save you. God saves wicked, hell-bound sinners. Now, folks, we need to, I know we're living in the 20th century, and people don't like to hear that, but that's the only way you can ever get saved is to realize you're lost. Now, you can come down here and make a profession all day long until you realize that you're lost and you stand condemned and guilty before a holy God, waiting on him for mercy. And when you stand and say, Lord, I plead nothing but Jesus' blood and righteousness. Lord, would you save me? Save me for Jesus' sake. And then he'll save you for Jesus' sake, a poor lost sinner. Now that's what Bible salvation is. That's why we're not getting very many people to save, really saved today, because we're not getting them lost first. So you need, brother, that's true. That's the truth. Nashville and here in East Tennessee, we're not getting people sick because we can't get anybody to admit they're a hell-bound sinner. And then, brother, business will pick up when we start admitting that we're a hell-bound sinner. Well, let's look at some of the things Paul confessed, or he confessed, first of all, that he was a blasphemer. That's pretty strong language, isn't it? That is, he blasphemed, he ridiculed, and he didn't belittle spiritual things, but he ridiculed and mocked Christ. He was a Jew. He wouldn't accept him as the Messiah. And he wouldn't accept these followers of Christ. He ridiculed them and mocked them and blasphemed the Lord Jesus and his followers. And then he said, I also was a persecutor before, who was before a blasphemer, and also a persecutor. On the road to Damascus, Paul was going down to arrest Christians and put them in, persecute them and imprison them. And before he got to Damascus, he was smitten with a light from heaven, and there he was on the road to Damascus, down on the road, flat before the Lord, and the Lord said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And because he was persecuting Christians, he was persecuting the Lord Jesus Christ. And folks, it's a dangerous thing to criticize and persecute God's born-again children. It's a dangerous thing to persecute and criticize a God-called preacher, and it's a dangerous thing to criticize the Lord's church. It's a dangerous thing. And so Paul was a persecutor, he confesses here, of the way and of the Lord Jesus and of his followers. And then he goes a step further, and he says, I was also injurious. That can be translated, I'm told, a wanton aggressor. Paul was aggressive in his persecution and in his blasphemy. He was outrageous in his conduct toward Christians. He held the coat of those who were stoning Stephen. And as the stones were hurled onto the body of Stephen, Paul was over there holding their cloaks and egging them on and encouraging them as those bodies those blows fell on the body of Stephen. There was Paul over to the side encouraging them on in their sin. And so he was injurious. And Paul, the rest of his days on this earth, never got over his persecution of Christians. He regretted it. It followed into his grave. He never could get rid of this on his soul, that I persecuted Christ and I persecuted Christian. But he confessed, I obtained mercy. I obtained mercy. How many of you have obtained mercy from the Lord tonight? Isn't that wonderful to obtain mercy from the Lord? And he said, I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. He said, Paul said, I just didn't know what I was doing. He said, I was wrong. I just did it in unbelief. You know, sin is sin. Like, you can go out here and the cop pull you over and you were going 55 in a 35 zone, you could say, oh, I didn't know the speed limit was a 35. And so ignorance is certainly no excuse of the law. And sin is sin, even though we do it in ignorance. But you know, there's a big difference in willful sinning and sins of ignorance. God is merciful to a poor lost sinner that's bound in the shackles of sin and blighted, has a blighted life, and Satan has got him in his domain, and he sins because he's in darkness and he's under the influence of the devil. He's a child of the Lord. Has pity and is merciful on a person like that. But someone who knows better, someone who has seen the light, someone who has come to a church like this and has heard the truth preached, and if they leave, listen, if you ever leave Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church and go out in the world, brother, God's going to deal harshly with you. You have had the light. You know better. Paul said, I did it. I obtained mercy because God in heaven knew that I really did it in unbelief and ignorance. I did not know better. And he said, but I obtained mercy. I want to stop right there. There's two. And I'll pick up right there next Sunday night, because I'm about a third through with my sermon. And the Lord just showed me things tonight as I was going through here. Just blessed my soul. I didn't even see. And I spent hours studying this message. And I didn't see a lot of these things. So I got the pulpit tonight. But there's two key words to Paul's conversion. Let me just start. I'll mention them here tonight and pick up here next Sunday night. But I think that how could the Lord save a wicked person like the Apostle Paul? In verses 13 and 14, we find two key words. Mercy, he said, I obtained mercy in verse 13. And he said, and the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant to him in verse 15. And so there's a great transition from his sin in verse 13 to the abounding grace of the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 14. And God's mercy was this, that God did not give Paul what he deserved. That's mercy. That's mercy. And if God gave us what we deserve, folks, we'd deserve hell tonight because of our sin. And we ought to plead God for mercy. If you ever feel yourself apart from God and cold and indifferent, just say, Lord, would you deal with me in mercy? And then also in grace. Grace, mercy is pity and compassion. And grace is undeserved favor. So God dealt with Paul in mercy and did not give Paul what he deserved. Instead, he gave him grace, which, let me back up. He didn't give Paul what he deserved. That's mercy. And then he gave him what he did not deserve. That was grace. Undeserved favor. What Paul got. So he was saved by the grace of God. The night I was saved, I went forward and knelt at a mourner's bench, and the Lord saved me that night. Not because of what I was or how good I was or anything like that. He just saved me by his grace, his mercy. And it's all of the Lord. It's not of me. If you're saved tonight, it's exactly the way you get saved. You don't deserve it. You just have to come and humble yourself and beg God for mercy. And he'll save your never dying soul through his mercy and his grace. I'll tell you. That word is living, isn't it? I've just found out while I was preaching that the Word of God's living. It's living. Folks, if you just... Now, a lot of times I know we'll go to the Word of God and it'll be dead because it's mainly our fault. But sometimes I'll just get in that book and it'll get alive like it did tonight to me. And then it'll feed your soul when it becomes alive like that. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Folks, tonight, maybe the Lord's spoken to your heart. Paul said that the Lord had enabled him. He had strengthened him. He was grateful to him for what he had done for him. Considered him faithful. Putting him into his service. And maybe the Lord's spoken to your heart about serving the Lord tonight. Maybe you're here and you're not, if you were to die right now, you're not saved. You'd miss heaven. And if you are here without Christ tonight, if you'll just come and say, preacher, I'm lost, and get out and tell the Lord about it. You don't have to tell me, just tell the Lord. Say, Lord, would you save me tonight? I beg you. I want to be a child of God. Would you come into my heart and forgive me my sins and save me tonight? And just pray and beg God, and he'll save you. If you'll just trust him. He said, Lord, I'm going to trust you for my salvation. I can't save myself. I'm going to trust you. And if you will do that, the Lord can save you and give you blessed assurance that Jesus is mine. If the Lord could save Paul who actually persecuted Christians and murdered Christians and threw them in prison, persecuted the Lord Jesus Christ. If he could save a wicked sinner like Paul, he can save you tonight. People, listen, the Lord can work your life out. He can straighten your life out by his grace. Won't you let him have his way in your heart and life tonight? Let's just sing with heads bowed, all to Jesus I surrender, if you'd turn to that. All to Jesus, with heads bowed and eyes closed, all to Jesus I surrender. Christian, would you surrender to him tonight so you can experience that enabling power of the Lord? Maybe you're not saved. If you'll come tonight, he loves you. He'll save you if you'll just cry out to him for mercy and for forgiveness and for salvation. He'll save you before you leave here. The altar's open. If you need to come just to pray, if you just feel a need to get closer to the Lord, or there's a problem you have, this altar's always open. Let's let the Lord have his way tonight. All to Jesus I surrender. Just get up and come on as we sing.
All to Jesus I surrender.
You need to come and make some decision for the Lord. Do business with God. Come on. There's a need.
Surrender,
just come and talk to the Lord.
At his feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken. Take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all. I surrender.
Another verse if others need to come. Come on, let the Lord have his way. Sir, what about it? Ma'am, what about it? Is God speaking to your heart? If he is, come do business with the Holy God tonight. Come to Jesus. Come on. Come on. Just get up from where you're sitting. Come, God speaking to your heart.
I surrender.